Our lesson today is taken out of the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. It's about the rich fool. We find in this chapter that there were an innumerable multitude of people surrounding Christ. And as they almost strode upon each other, he began to speak unto his disciples and to warn them against the leaven of the Pharisees. How that these Pharisees were hypocrites, and how that their teachings were nothing else but the works of the law, and that there was a day coming when those things that these Pharisees taught and which went on in their hearts would be revealed. There is a day coming likewise that the thoughts of our hearts shall be revealed and be made bare and naked before the multitude gathered around the throne of Christ. He likewise spake unto them that they should not fear those that killed the body and had no other power to do anything else, but that they should fear him who had power both to kill and to damn in hell. They were then instructed by Christ to put their trust in him, to seek all their help from him, and that he would take care of them. He took care of the swallows. He took care even of the hairs on their head. And would he then not take care of them? They should not fear. They should look up unto him, and he would supply all their needs. He speaks to them likewise that if anyone sinned against the Son of Man, he would be forgiven. There were many, even in the time of Christ, and later on, that denied the Son of Man, that spake against him, and they found repentance, they found sorrow for their sins, and likewise were forgiven them. We see this in one of the apostles, Peter, who denied his Lord and Master with cursings and with oaths. And then he spake unto them that if they blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it would not be forgiven. This sin, the Holy Ghost being the third person in the Trinity and blaspheming against it, there was no hope for such a person. How many of God's dear children fear that they have committed this unpardonable sin? This sin was what the Jews and the Pharisees spake unto Christ. They said that Christ was Beelzebub, the chief of the devils, and they attributed all the miracles that he done by the power of his spirit unto the influence of this infernal spirit. This speaking against the power and against the miracles that Christ performed by the agency of the Spirit is blasphemy, is this particular sin against the Holy Ghost, for which there is no forgiveness in this life or in the life to come. And then he spake unto them about coming before magistrates, being haled before judges, that they should not fear what they would have to speak, but in that hour he would give unto them to speak what was necessary. The Holy Ghost would instruct them and lay the words in their very mouths. And while he was speaking in this manner, one of the multitude spake up at an unseemly time, and he said, Master, speak unto my brother that he divide the inheritance unto me. And Jesus said unto him, Who hath made me a judge and a divider over thee, O man? This man, it appears, was ill-treated by his brother. Under Israel of old, the elder brother was the one that was to distribute the inheritance that was left from their parents. And it appears that he did not do it honestly and uprightly, that he kept more for himself than was necessary, And he decided to appeal unto Christ, that Christ would take this cause up and also divide this inheritance uprightly. But Jesus said, "Who hath made me a judge and a divider over thee, O man?" Jesus had not come into this world to be a judge or a divider. He came to be a teacher and a savior. And into these civil matters he never entered. And he forbids likewise his ministers and those that follow him not to enter into these civil matters. His kingdom was a spiritual kingdom and not a kingdom of this world. Therefore we find that Christ, who would not divide this inheritance, he pushed this man aside. If this man had come to him concerning his immortal soul, concerning his sins and iniquities, he would have found a ready answer. But it appears that he had no care on account of his immortal soul. He was only concerned about this inheritance. This teaches us likewise that we as parents, if we have children, if in this time state we do not provide and make a will, then we will see something like this taking place amongst those that are the survivors. Therefore, it is good while we are healthy and well to set our house in order in this respect so that there will not be any trouble after we have gone. This teaches us likewise as parents that we must die. The parents of this man had passed away, and his elder brother, he had charge of the inheritance. So likewise, you and I, who are gathered here, and our parents, we also must pass away, and we know not how soon. And now Christ speaks unto this man and says, and likewise to the multitude, beware of covetousness, for a man's happiness does not consist in those things that he possesses. This is a truth, my hearers, which we can hardly believe, because by nature we think that if we are rich and we are wealthy and we have enough of this world's substance, that these things consist of our happiness. And if they do, you are sadly mistaken. A man's happiness does not consist in these things, Christ said. The soul of man cannot be pleased with anything of a worldly nature. There are no desires in the world that can satisfy the desires of a soul. And it has been proven that many people have had very little of the wealth of this world and still have went through this life very comfortably. Where many who have had an abundance of this wealthy riches that they accumulate in and through business and in and through their wisdom, that they have not had a comfortable life. We have examples in the Word of God. Take Haman and take Ahab. Ahab was a king, and see how distressed he was, how peevish he was, because he could not have the vineyard of Naboth. Haman likewise was a man of wealth, but he was so peevish and so troubled because Mordecai would not bow down before him. This teaches us that even rich people, they have not the happiness that they mean to have from their riches. Oh, my hearers, there is only one way to obtain happiness in this life and in the life to come, and that is to find grace in the sight of God, to have His Spirit dwelling in us, and to have a comfortable assurance that when we leave this life, we shall enter into heaven above. And now Christ speaking, beware of covetousness. Covetousness is a great sin, my hearers. The 10th commandment teaches us that thou shalt not covet, that thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his house, nor any of his animals, nor any of his servants. That Christ then gives a warning here about covetousness. To covet, that means to have an inordinate desire for worldly and earthly things. There is a lawful coveting, which Paul speaks about, saying, and covet ye the most important gifts. These people then were warned against covetousness, and we likewise must be warned continually against this sin. For we are so prone to fall into this sin, and this sin is working in our hearts without us even realizing it. And therefore, Christ speaks about covetousness, and he begins and says unto them about a parable. He speaks a parable about a certain rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. This man then was rich, the Bible says. And on the top of all his riches, he had a great estate. And in and through being industrious and using his wisdom, he had planted many things in his estate. And that particular year, the ground brought forth plentifully. He then had an abundance, more than what he needed. And when this man saw the ground and saw the crops that were coming off of it, he was troubled. We read that he began to speak unto himself and says, what shall I do? For I have no place where I may bestow these my fruits and goods. He was troubled then about finding a place to store it. And while he was meditating upon this matter, he began to think that he would pull down his barns and he would build greater ones. And then he would store all this fruit and all these goods, and he would say unto his soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. This was what this man was speaking to himself inwardly, and which he planned to do. God knew his thoughts. God knew what was going on in him. This man was a fool in this respect, for he called the fruits of the ground his fruits and his goods. Whatever we may have, my hearers, it is God who has given it unto us. He has only lent it to us. We are stewards over what he has given us. This man then acted foolishly in calling these things his. And now he knew not what to do with them. Oh, if he had only went around probably in the neighborhood, he probably would have found many poor people to whom he could have distributed these abundance of fruits. But he only thought about himself. He is in this then a selfish and an ungodly man. For he began to wonder what to do with them. We do not read that he acknowledged God for what he had received, that he was thankful to God that he had blessed his land and made it so fruitful. None whatsoever. He did not go to God to ask God, what shall I do with all these blessings likewise? But he thought in himself what he should do. It is written in the Bible that the wicked have no thought about God. They are not in all their thoughts. And likewise, God was not in the thoughts of this man. For he started to figure a way whereby he could gather this together and keep it. We have here a character, my hearers, of a man, a worldly man, who in and through his wisdom and ingenuity, he, from being a mere creature, an inferior one, by this has gained riches and wealth. And after he had gained it, he planned to do something with it and then take it easy for the rest of his life. How many have I amongst me that have those things in their minds? Who have risen from being an inferior person and are gaining and gaining as you go along, and the Lord is blessing you. And in your mind you have probably the same thoughts that this rich man had. You are planning and scheming that when you get to your goal and you get a certain sum, you're going to stop. Then you're going to take it easy for the rest of your life. You're going to do just like this rich man planned to do. This is the type of a worldly man. Now, it is not unlawful to gain things in this world. But to have like this man an over an abundance of it, and then to plan and to figure for yourself and not for your neighbor and not for the poor, is entirely wrong. We find then that this man, he was going to pull down his barns. Again, we see how foolish he was. Just because this year he had so much goods and God had blessed his land, that didn't say that next year was going to be that way. Even after the years of plentiness that we have, many of us, we find that there are years of famine. We found that down in the land of Egypt. After the 7 years of plenty, then there came 7 years of famine. If this man had planned to build a little hut alongside of the barn that he had and laid some of it in there, it would have been far better. But now he plans to pull down all his barns and build them greater. As his barns were too small now, maybe next year they would have been too big. How foolish he was in this respect. And now we find him likewise speaking to his soul. He says unto his soul, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years." If he had said this now to his body, it would have been more reasonable. But to speak like that to his soul, the soul of a man, which is the life of a man, now that has no value and has nothing to do with the riches and the abundance of fruits that God blesses us with. They cannot satisfy our immortal soul. So he was foolish in speaking to his soul in this way. And then we find that in this thought and in all this abundance that he had, he did not contemplate that all these things could be taken away. How often does not riches take wings and fly away? The instability of it all. He neither thought about how short that his life could be and that he could be cut off in the midst of it. We read nothing of the kind that he had these kind of thoughts. And he never thought about eternity. He had no thought likewise of the blessings that God had to bestow, of the blessings of being reconciled with God, of having pardon of our sins, of having communion with Him, and having peace in our conscience, and having true faith, hope, and love, the blessings of God which endureth forever. Of these blessings this man had no thought whatsoever about. And therefore we read that God came to him. How that God came to him we know not. But Jesus said, God came and spake unto him and said unto him, "Thou fool." Now if God called him a fool, we must judge that he was a fool. For the judgment of God is right. And I have shown you in which way that he was a fool, according to the estimate of God. Thou fool, he says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose then shall all these things be that thou hast provided? God then spake and sentenced him with the sentence of death. Amidst all what he seen and all what he had and all what he contemplated and all what he thought he would enjoy, God came and said, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Oh, my hearers, God then sentenced him to death. That very night, he would be taken away, and he would appear before God. And then, whose would all that, what he had contemplated on using, and finding his happiness in be? Oh, what a terrible sentence this was, my hearers. Oh, how often this takes place, even in the world today. How often men strive and labor and try to gain everything they can so that they can take it easy for a number of years afterwards. And right in the midst of what they are trying to gain, we find God coming and taking their soul away. Oh, how terrible it is for a man or a woman to be busy seeking after the perishing things of this world and then to perish in the midst of seeking them. For this takes place quite often, my hearers. Have I any of my hearers who are seeking after these perishing vanities, who have no thought about God, no thought about your soul, no thought about eternity? Oh, how sad is your case. There may be some amongst me that have been doing this, and suddenly something happened. God came. He struck in the home. Afflictions came. Or he may have bereaved you of someone that was near and dear to you. In the midst of all your worldly prosperity, God came, and he speak, and all his voice, my hearers, is with might. It is with power. It cuts very deep when God comes. This man was taken away from his riches immediately, and God sentenced him not only to death, but to eternal death. Oh, how sad it is that when this takes place, as Jesus said, whose shall then all those things be which ye have provided? There may be some amongst my hearers who are providing, who are laying up a store. Probably, if they should happen to die, then their wife will live comfortably from it, or their children will receive it, and they will be able to use it. But do we not see, my hearers, so often, that parents, they labor and they strive to attain a home, to have a nice place. And when they pass away, they leave it to their children. And oh, how sad it is we see many children. They can spend it so fast and so foolishly, and so ignorantly do they use what their parents have left them, that if their parents could arise and see what they had done with it, they would have been sorry that they ever had left it to them. Whose then will that be? All those things which ye have provided. Whose will they be, yours and I, when we pass away, my hearers? All these things, my hearers, are but perishing of vanity. They are things only for the time. And that is what most men are concerned about. We all have that in us, that we covet to get ahead, to get somewheres in the world, to accumulate a fortune, to be a little richer than the other one, to have a nice home, to have a nice car, and to have money in the bank, and then to think, well, if something should happen, I'm all set. I have nothing to worry about. But we little realize how that in doing this, we may be suddenly taken away. Jesus speaks here about a man laying up treasure for himself. Such is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. This is what most men do. They accumulate treasures for themselves, for their bodies, for their mouths, and it is all worldly material. This is what they are seeking after. This is what they are contemplating on possessing, and this is their treasure. Is that your treasure, my hearers? Is that the only treasure you have? Your treasure then is your worldly goods, your home, your occupation, what you possess. That's what you've got your heart set upon. Oh, how sad then is your condition if this only is what you are seeking after. Then you are not rich towards God. You are only rich in your own estimation. You only have a treasure that's probably going to be taken away from you. How often are not these things taken away in this life already? How often do not men leave their riches in and through using fraudulent purposes, trying to gain more, and suddenly they lose everything they have? Oh, my hearers, riches are good with an inheritance. And that inheritance Christ speaks about, being rich towards God. Oh, I would say, covet ye lawfully these gifts that Paul speaks about. And I will show you another way, he says, that ye may covet these gifts. And he begins in the next chapter to speak about these gifts. He speaks there about charity, saying that even if he had all the riches in this world and he had not charity, then he had nothing. And that if he could speak with the voice of an angel, then if he had not charity, he was still but a tinkling cymbal and sounding brass. He speaks then about a gift, my hearers, which I wish that every one of you would esteem. And that gift is called charity. In the Holland version, it's called love. If we have this gift of love, the gift of God, for it is a gift of his, then we have something that the moth and the rust cannot corrupt, and that thieves cannot steal. It's something that's abiding, something that no one can take from us. This charity, this love, shall enter into glory above. Faith and hope shall remain outside, but love shall enter in. Oh, covet this one gift, love, the love of God, which passeth all understanding. And we find then in this parable and in this lesson, my hearers, that God is a sovereign God. We have here a man that was rich, and on the top of his riches, he accumulated much fruits and much blessings that God bestowed upon his land. The fruitfulness of the ground is the blessing of God, and the fruits thereof God distributes even to the wicked many times. We see then that God is sovereign even in disposing of this world's goods. Some are rich and some are poor. The rich and the poor they meet each other. And God is likewise sovereign in bestowing spiritual blessings. He bestows these on the poor and on the ignorant. God has chosen the poor and the foolish of this world, and he has made them rich in faith, rich in that blessing of the love of God in their hearts. And my hearers, we find that this man, he had figured all these things out, what he was going to do with his riches without acknowledging God. Oh, what a fool then was this man in this respect. Oh, how many live in this world without acknowledging God in all their ways. They have him not in their thoughts, and they think not about him. And they accumulate wealth, and they become great, and they have honor, and they have pleasure. And suddenly, God comes, and he requires their soul. Oh, we read in Psalm 49, that this their way is their folly, that suddenly they are taken away, and they are drowned in perdition. My hearers, may I address you in the words that Christ spake in this parable. He said unto this man, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." May I ask you, should God speak to you in these words, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee"? Are you one of these creatures that Christ has been picturing out to us in this parable? Oh, if he should come then, what an awakening there will be in eternity. Oh, then truly, God called you a fool, but you will call yourself a fool. You will say, "How foolish have I been in my life? How foolishly have I lived and acted in the time allotted to me? Oh, I have sought nothing else but the things that perish. I have never sought God. I had been given to hear of him, but he was not in my thoughts, not in my desires." Oh, how terrible it will be for any person who has been seeking nothing else but the world and all its pleasures to be suddenly spoken to, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." Oh, my hearers, if this should happen to you, if this very night, and it could be this night, tonight, God could come, God could take your life away. Have you ever thought of it? Are you without any of those thoughts? Are you just busy with the world? Oh, how sad is your case. And if he should come, my hearers, where would you spend eternity? Where would your soul be if he required it of you? Your soul, which is more valuable than all the world. For what profited a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? And you do not value your soul. You have no thought concerning it. Only thinking about this life. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? All these things do the nations of the earth seek after. And Christ teaches us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all other things shall be granted unto you." Oh, what a terrible eternity it will be for those who have been under the gospel, who have been given to hear of Jesus Christ, and who, while they have been hearing, have had nothing else but their minds occupied and distracted with their worldly business, with their inheritance. Oh, terrible it is for such creatures to fall into the hands of a living God. Oh, what shall it be, my hearers, if you should suddenly have to come before God in this state? Oh, I feel sorry for every one of you who are still in this state, my hearers. And may you be given yet to flee from the wrath which is to come. For there is a Savior and a mighty one who turneth none away that cometh unto him. He is the same today as he was when he was here upon earth, and as he was from the day that Adam was created. He's the same Jesus, willing to save, able to save, and mighty to save all those that come unto him. Oh, may you be given to seek him. He is that pearl of great price. He is that one thing needful for you and I. And if we miss him, we miss everything, my Hebrews. What good shall it be when we lay under the ground and the people say, John or so-and-so, oh, he was a good man, or she was a good woman. They did so many good things, but our soul is burning in hell. Oh, my hearers, to be honored, to be praised, even in this life. Oh, we love that so. But these things, my hearers, they cannot profit us in eternity. We have to leave everything behind, and we have to appear before God alone. And oh, when we appear before him, then we will find him to be what he wouldn't be to this man who came to him and said unto him, speak unto my brother that he may divide the inheritance. And Christ said unto him, who hath made me a judge and a divider over thee, O man? In that great day, my hearers, then he will be a judge. He will be a divider. For he will sit as a judge, and he will separate the sheep from the goats. But then he will divide the people of this world. He will place the wicked on his left side and the righteous on his right side. What side will you be on, my hearers? You ever stop to think about it? That's a day that's going to come. You don't know how soon. Oh, where will you be? Will he pick you out? Will he say to you, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from before the foundations of the world? Oh, what a blessing that will be in that day, my hearers. We may be thought very little of in this world. We may be despised. We may be blasphemed. We may be talked against. We may be hated. But oh, in that day of days, then Jesus Christ will single you out as one of his sheep. And he will take you home to be with himself. And there you will inherit an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away. Oh, precious inheritance. Your soul ever longed for it? You ever desire to be there? Oh, may every one of my hearers be given to seek this Jesus in this life, to be found in him, that when he comes to be the judge and the divider, you may be found to be one of his sheep who may enter into the joy of your Lord. My time is gone again, my hearers. That's all for today.